Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. It's Blog Talk Radio. Thanks for going live with me. It's Thursday, almost Friday, 11:55, 5 to midnight. And so thank you for being flexible. And the great thing about these is if you can't stay up this late, you can always download the shows. And that's just the beauty of being on Blog Talk Radio. And the beauty of it is being able to download also. It's just such a great venue, and I just so appreciate Blog Talk Radio. And so I want to also, of course, thank IHOP Kansas for allowing me to play their music. May the Lord bless them and keep them and make his face to shine upon them and give them his peace. The Lord, thank you for doing above and beyond what they could ever ask or even think or even imagine to fulfill their part of your story. And of course, I want to declare Numbers 10:9, which says, I'm just going to paraphrase it today. It's like the Lord always, always remembers us. And it's, he will always protect us. He will always bless us. He will always, always take care of us. He will always defeat our enemies. He already has defeated our enemies. And so I'm just so thankful and grateful to God because he loves us. Are we not the most blessed people in the whole wide world? And so Numbers 10:9. When you go to war in your land against the enemy who oppresses you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets, and you will be remembered before the Lord your God, and you will be saved from every single one of your enemies. And so I want to play the recording of the shofar. Okay, hold on one sec. Here we go. Okay, it's having an issue here. Let's see, try it again. All right, it is not going to do what I want it to. So I will just go ahead and start talking about what I want to teach you today, what we want to discuss. I called it made effectual in the highest sense, love and the gifts. You know, love is the only way in which gifts can be made effectual in the highest sense. And I'll talk about where I got that later. And so God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, gifts of healings, helps, administrations, and various kinds of tongues. All are not apostles, are they? All are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracles, are they? All do not have gifts of healings, do they? All do not speak with tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they? But earnestly desire the greater gifts, and I show you still a more excellent way. I wanted you to ask the Spirit of the Lord to illuminate what that means. And that, you know, if you know what it means, that's great. But I think there's a deeper meaning than what appears. And so I went in some of the commentaries and I took out some of the, they always have the Greek kind of letters in there, and so I took some of them out. And here was from the Greek Testament Critical Exegetical Commentary. But he has been showing that all gifts have their value and that all are set in the church by God. Some, however, are more valuable than others. Do ye aim at the greater gifts explained in 1 Corinthians 14:5? This exhortation is not inconsistent with 1 Corinthians 12:11. But as we look for the divine blessing on tillage and careful culture, so we may look for the aid of the Spirit on carefully cultivated powers of the understanding and speech. And we may notice that the greater gifts, those consisted in the inspired exercise of the conscious faculties in which culture and diligence would be useful accessories, besides exhorting you to emulate the greater gifts, an eminently excellent way of emulating the greatest gifts between love and gifts, only shows that it is the only way in which gifts can be made effectual in the highest sense. And I thought that was so awesome because it's such a balanced statement. I'm just going to say it again. Only way in which gifts can be made effectual in the highest sense is by love. And I thought that was amazing and balanced because faith works by love. And so I wanted to read Heinrich Meyer's critical exegetical commentary on the New Testament on 1 Corinthians 14:1. Pursue after love, but following with all the greater emphasis upon the praise of love. 1 Corinthians 12:31, Philippians 3:12. After Paul has thus established this principle as to seeking after the better gifts of the Spirit, he can now enter upon the latter themselves more in detail. With this, he joins on again to 1 Corinthians 12:31, but in such a way that he sets over against the latter as what is to take place along with it. Let the end which you pursue be love, in connection with, however, and upon that I will now enter more particularly, not to omit your zealous seeking after the gifts of the Spirit, but to direct it especially to prophecy. As in 1 Corinthians 12:1, the gifts of the Spirit generally, not merely, which first comes in at 1 Corinthians 14:2, and that with a definite designation, 1 Corinthians 12:31 does not simply compare the longing for prophetic gifts with that for the glossolalia, which is only done in the following, but is to be explained in a higher degree, however, than for the other gifts of the Spirit, be zealous that ye may speak prophetically. The Greek Testament critical exegetical commentary on 1 Corinthians 14:5. Pursue after love. Let it be your great aim, important and enduring as that grace has been shown to be. In the meantime, however, during that pursuit, make that the first thing. Take up this as a second. Strive for spiritual gifts, but more for this than others, chiefly that ye may prophesy. So I'm going to go into 2 Corinthians 1:20. For as many as are the promises of God in him, they are yes. Therefore also through him is our amen to the glory of God through us. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and anointed us is God, who also sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge. Now I'm going to go to 2 Corinthians 5:5. Now he who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave to us the Spirit as a pledge. Isn't that beautiful? I mean, we are sealed. He pledges himself to us. It's so beautiful. And he testifies to us also. I'm going to go into Hebrews 10:15. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws upon their heart and on their mind. I will write them, he then says. Isn't he incredible? He gives us his word so we can, by the Spirit of the Lord, imitate him. How do we do that? Well, Romans 12:2 is a good clue to that. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transferred by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. How can we begin to think like God? And that answer is, of course, by the power of the Spirit. And I want to try one more time to see if I can get the shofar to play. I'm not understanding that. I'm going to try another one. Okay, this is singing in the Spirit. So I just wanted to stop that. Okay. To try that out. Oh, and here it goes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for allowing that to play. I'm going to pray this today, and I prayed it before, but it's just so important. And my prayer is that we can literally see you by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let us apprehend that you long to, as our Abba Daddy and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. I'm just going to say thank you, Lord, for granting us a spirit of wisdom and revelation of insight into mysteries and secrets in the deep, intimate knowledge of you. By having the eyes of our heart, the eyes of our mind, the faculty of knowing with our hearts flooded with light to enlighten us, Lord, to illuminate us, to bring light, to cause something to exist and then come to light and become clear to all of us, to enlighten us, to spiritually imbue us with saving knowledge, to instruct us, to inform us, to teach us, to give us understanding so that we can know and understand the hope to which you have called us and how rich your glorious inheritance in us is, Lord, your set apart ones. And so that we can know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of your power in and for us who believe, as demonstrating in the working of your mighty strength, which you exerted in Christ Jesus when you raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. And I just love it because we are seated in heavenly places with him, and everything's under our feet because it's under his feet, because he has literally given us everything he has. The Lord is so incredible. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Now, the importance of why I was talking about the renewing of the mind is that once we begin to renew our minds, the Holy Spirit can come and begin to use the Word of God in us and activate the mind of Christ in us. I wanted to read Ephesians 4, starting at verse 20. But you did not learn Christ in this way, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. We have everything in him. I mean, he's so incredible. You know, I really want the Spirit of the Lord to speak to those who think that they're unworthy, or that He's gonna come and kind of zap the baptism in the Holy Spirit on you, because that it really is not truth. And I encountered a most beautiful Christian girl today, and we talked about the Holy Spirit, And she shared with me how many years ago she had gone to a camp and that people had prayed and that she heard words in the spirit, and she heard words such as Adonai, and she said, I heard all those Hebrew words, and then it was like, well, that was just me. I already knew that. And I told her, I said, the Holy Spirit was just probably speaking in your heart, you know, through the gift of tongues. He was speaking those beautiful words that you knew, and he was doing something with the words that you put in you, you know, his word inside of you. And I told her that she was probably she was baptized in the Holy Spirit, but the enemy lied to her and said it was her because she already knew all those words. She knew Adonai and all that stuff. And that's one of the biggest tricks of the enemy. He wants to steal that gift because it's the power of God, and he'll do anything to try to sabotage that gift. The thing is that it's our inheritance. It's our portion. She allowed me to pray with her. It was so fun. I told her we have to receive the Holy Spirit just like we received Jesus. And I want to share some of those scriptures because he wants each one of us to be baptized in the power of the Spirit, to be baptized in the Spirit. I tried to explain to her it's like an immersion. It's being baptized in his power. And then it was actually a command in Acts 1, to be baptized in the Spirit. And it was so fun because we were talking about the Holy Spirit while we were in the pool. So it was a gorgeous day. We were just chilling in the pool, talking about the Lord. It was so awesome. And so I wanted to go through again. I'm going to go to Acts 2:16. And I want you to keep in your mind when you hear receive. And it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth of my Spirit on all mankind, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my bond slaves, both men and women, I will in those days pour forth of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will grant wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord shall come. And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know. This man delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death. But God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in his power. Now see, he's starting to talk about what Jesus did on the cross. And he's saying, for David says of him, I saw the Lord always in my presence, for he is at my right hand, so that I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad, and my tongue exulted. Moreover, my flesh also will live in hope, because you will not abandon my soul to Hades, nor allow your Holy One to undergo decay. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brethren, I may confidently say to you regarding the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. And so because he was a prophet and knew that God had sworn to him with an oath to seat one of his descendants on his throne, he looked ahead and spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was neither abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh suffer. Remember when Paul said it was Jesus Christ and him crucified? And if you always notice throughout scriptures, when you're preaching what God did on the cross for people, the Holy Spirit comes and witnesses what Jesus did. And they were witnesses and we're witnesses. It says, this Jesus God raised up, to which we are all witnesses. Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured forth this which you both see and hear. I mean, they could see and hear what was going on. They could hear people praying in the Spirit. They received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit. For it was not David who ascended into heaven, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now, when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? Peter said to them, repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. There's that word again, because I've heard so many people say, well, if he wants me to have that gift, then he's going to give it to me. No, it doesn't work that way. He already poured out. You have to receive it. Like you received Jesus, you have to receive the Holy Spirit also. It says, for the promise is for you and your children and for all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself. And I loved, and I had to put this in again, in John 20:22. Listen to what Jesus says. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. So Jesus breathed on them, but they had to receive. And that is such a key for people who want to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. They think God's going to zap them, that it's going to be up to God, and God already did it. He wants you to receive the Holy Spirit. And I really wanted to look at that word receive. It's just so awesome. It's in the Strong in 2983. I really, really want you to apprehend what this word receive means. It means to take with the hand, to lay hold of any person or thing in order to use it. Take up a thing to be carried, to take upon oneself. And I liked that one, to take upon yourself, because it's like you have to receive to yourself. You have to take it. You have to take it. You have to receive the Holy Spirit. You have to receive his baptism without the notion of violence, to remove, to take away, to take what is one's own. We are Jesus Christ's children. We are the sons and daughters of God, and he gave us the Holy Spirit as a pledge. And the Holy Spirit was poured out on Pentecost, and it's the promise of the Father to take to oneself, to make one's own, to claim, to procure for oneself, to associate with oneself as companion or attendant. And remember how we talked about he's the helper. He's our helper and our teacher. To associate of that which when taken is not let go, to seize it, to lay hold of, and to apprehend. Isn't that awesome? And so there is more. Well, here's another one I like. Not to refuse or reject, to receive what is offered. To receive a person, give him access to oneself. Oh, glory to God. To regard anyone's power, rank, external circumstances, and on that account, to do, oh, I'm not going to use that one. No, we don't need that one. We are going to talk about what is the prerequisite of really of any gift or anything in the kingdom of God. And I'm going to go, and we know all know this chapter, John 3, and I'm going to do this in Green's literal translation because it is so awesome. Jesus answered and said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, if one is not generated from above, he's not able to see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said to him, how is a man able to be generated being old? He's not able to enter into his mother's womb a second time and be born. Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, if one is not generated out of water and spirit, he's not able to enter into the kingdom of God. That having been generated out of the flesh is flesh, and that having been generated out of the spirit is spirit. Do not wonder because I said to you, you must be generated from above. And I just love what this says in the next verse. The spirit breathes where he desires and you hear his voice, but you do not know where he comes and where he goes. So is everyone having been generated from spirit. I love that. He says you can't, that's a literal seeing. We talked about that maybe a month ago, that you can literally see the kingdom, but you have to be generated from above, or in other words, you have to have your spiritual birth and be born into the kingdom of God. You know, there was a revival going on in Acts 8. They were receiving the word of God, and when the apostles heard it, they came down and prayed that they might receive the Holy Spirit. And so that's Acts 8:14. Now, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for he had not yet fallen upon any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then they began laying their hands on them, and they were receiving the Holy Spirit. Just like we received Jesus, we then can receive the baptism in the Spirit. And I want you to think about John 1:12. But as many as received him, that's talking about Jesus, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory as of the only begotten from the Father, filled with grace and truth. And I'm going to just stop and play a little bit of the song where they're singing in the Spirit, because it's just so beautiful. And so I just want to play that for you. And I'm not going to play the whole thing, but I'm going to play part of it. It's so amazing because I was talking to this young girl today, and she is a worshiper. And she talked about how when she prays and worships, she begins to cry, and that she doesn't want to then praise and worship. And I told her, I said, wow, I would so love to worship with you because you're being touched by the Lord, which means as you're worshiping, you're bringing in His presence. And so praying in the Spirit is such a beautiful act of worship. You can sing in the natural and sing in the Spirit. I know I demonstrated that for you about a couple months ago when we were talking about tongues and the gifts and things. And you can, once you receive the Spirit, you can sing in the Spirit all night long if you want and praise the Lord that way. He's so beautiful and incredible, and He longs to fill us with His power, to be witnesses for Him. And I loved also talking about Cornelius, because I love how God just shakes it up, because the Holy Spirit fell on them as they heard the message that Peter was saying. No one laid hands on them, but they received the message of the kingdom, and they received Jesus. And the Holy Spirit just shook it up, and He just baptized them in the Spirit before they were ever baptized. And so we're going to go into Acts 10:30. Cornelius said, 4 days ago to this hour, I was praying in my house during the ninth hour, and behold, a man stood before me in shining garments. And he said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms have been remembered before God. Therefore, send to Joppa and invite Simon, who is also called Peter, to come to you. He's staying at the house of Simon the tanner by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and you have been kind enough to come. Now then, we are all here present before God to hear all you have been commanded by the Lord. And isn't that beautiful? He already knew ahead of time that he was going to hear from the Lord. And it was such a supernatural day because Cornelius had a visitation by an angel, and Peter went into a trance because God was preparing him and saying, hey, what I've called clean, don't you call unclean. And it was in regards to the Gentiles, how he was going to save them and fill them with the Spirit. And Cornelius is the first Gentile believer, along with his friends. And I always joke around because I'm Italian, and I always say, look at that. The first Gentile believer was Italian. And so I just think that's fabulous. And so this is what he says, Peter says, opening his mouth, Peter said, I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality, but in every nation, the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him. The word which he sent to the sons of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know the thing which took place throughout all Judea, starting from Galilee, after the baptism which John proclaimed. You know of Jesus of Nazareth, of how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Now, remember, what did Paul say? Jesus Christ, him and the crucifixion. And so here we are again in Acts 10. He's going to start talking about what Jesus did for us. We are witnesses of all things he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They also put him to death by hanging him on a cross. And I do want to say this. Sin put Jesus to death. All the sins of all mankind. And I want to make that statement. Because we all put him to death. It's just, this is the place that it was chosen at. And so we are all guilty of all of our sins. And so God raised him up on the third day and granted that he become visible, not to all the people, but to witnesses who were chosen beforehand by God, that is to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he ordered us to preach to the people and solemnly to testify that this is the one who has been appointed by God as a judge of the living and the dead. Of him, all the prophets bear witness that through his name, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. So he's preaching the message of salvation to Cornelius and to his family and whoever was at that house. And I just love it because here the Holy Spirit, he's going to shake it up. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to the message. All the circumcised believers who came with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. Well, how did they know that? They knew it because the next verse says, for they were hearing them speaking with tongues and exalting God. And then Peter answered, surely no one can refuse the water for those to be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we did, can he? And he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to stay on a few days. Now, I just love the Lord, and I know you do too. And I just find him just so, I know he has a sense of humor. I know he does. And so I just think it's so amazing that he baptized them in the Spirit without anybody laying hands on them, because he's a God of variety. He does things the way he wants to do them, and he does them his way, and it's not in a little box, because I know sometimes people just put him in this little box, and he's so vast. I mean, we cannot fathom his amazingness. And so I want to go in, and I use this all the time, these scriptures, because I so want people who want to be baptized in the Spirit, I want them to hear the truth, because Acts 19:1 talks about some of the doctrines of baptisms. There's more than this. There's the baptism of fire, which is the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire. That's John the Baptist talked about that. And so let's go in Acts 19:1. It happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the upper country and came to Ephesus and found some disciples. He said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said to him, no, we have not even heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said, into what then were you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism. Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in him who was coming after him. That is in Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was their salvation. And when Paul had laid hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking with tongues and prophesying. You know, we receive the promise of the Spirit by faith. He is our pledge. He's our inheritance because we're children of the promise. And I want you to think about Galatians 3:14. In order that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And I love how in Galatians 3:1, he says, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? This is the only thing I wanted to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit? Are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain? If indeed it was in vain, so then does he who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you do it by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Even so, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. And we have to remember that we have the robe of righteousness on. We are in him. He exchanged everything for us. So incredible. His love really, really is amazing. And so I want you to think about, too, about the Great Commission, because everyone knows. Oh, if you say, hey, do you believe in the Great Commission? They'll be like, well, of course we believe in the Great Commission. Well, if that's true, that is done supernaturally by the power of the Holy Spirit through his children. And I want to read it starting at Mark 16:15. I want to read it in the Amplified. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach and publish openly the good news, the gospel, to every creature of the whole human race. He who believes, who adheres to and trusts in and relies on the gospel and him whom it sets forth and is baptized will be saved from the penalty of eternal death. But he who does not believe, who does not adhere to and trust in and rely on the gospel and him whom it sets forth will be condemned. And these attesting signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new languages. Yes, and that is tongues. They will pick up serpents, and that is deliverance. And even if they drink anything deadly, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will get well. So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven, and he sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, while the Lord kept working with them and confirming the message by the attesting signs and miracles that closely accompanied it. Amen. So be it. The Great Commission, I mean, what did he say? Go. Go into the highways and the byways and beckon them to come. You're not doing this thing on your own. And if you go out there and do it on your own, it's not going to work. It has to be by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we just have a couple minutes left, and I'm, of course, going to continue about the Holy Spirit. And I am going to play a little bit of the song He's Like. Thank you so much for joining me. Bye-bye.